Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's special word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, reading from verse 24 through verse 27 as follows. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only head and the chief cornerstone of his church, dearly beloved hearers of his wonderful word. In many respects, the way people build their houses here in this world is often a picture or a reflection of how they build their lives. And the time they spend, the effort they put forth, the planning they engage in, and the priorities they set, as well as the values they hold, all manifest themselves in the product they end up with. Look at a person's home, especially one that he built himself, or one that he contracted to be built according to his own specifications, and you gain valuable insights into his character, into his stability, into his aspirations, and even his hopes for the future. And much of the time, what you see has not at all been determined by a person's cash flow situation here in this world, upon his job, or the size of the mortgage he was able to negotiate with some bank or financial institution, but it's who he is, not how much he has. The person who wants immediate gratification builds quickly. He often takes shortcuts to reduce the time of construction. And he's willing to build smaller in order to finish sooner. He and his wife can then move into that house before anyone else on the block. But 6 years and 3 children down the road, they find they have outgrown their home. And when they try to sell it, they find that the shoddy construction has taken a big bite out of its value. Then there's the guy who experiences literal pain when he has to part with his money. In order to save a buck here and there, he builds his house with substandard materials, factory seconds, odd size remnants, and rejects that he was able to pick up somewhere for next to nothing. And he always takes the lowest bid, even if it means sacrificing quality of workmanship. And then he wonders why the place won't sell 10 years later. Of course, there's also the builder who's in it for the long haul. The planning stage takes a lot longer than the construction phase. He thinks futuristically about the space he is creating for himself and his family. Only the best quality of materials go into his house, even if it means a larger or longer mortgage. And he takes his time to get everything just right. After all, he is going to have to live in that house. He is going to have to look at that house and be satisfied with it for at least the next 30 years or so. Now, of course, there's nothing in Scripture that stipulates how a person should build his house or his home here in this world. No Bible passages that tell him how much he should spend or how persnickety he should be about the quality of the lock sets and the windows and the fixtures and the paint that he puts on his house. But if the way people build their houses here in this world is anything like the way in which they build, establish, and conduct their lives, particularly their spiritual lives, and Jesus himself connects the two by means of the picture in our text for this morning, then the Lord has plenty to say to us for our warning and admonition. First and foremost, about the underpinnings of our spiritual house. As he asks you and me a probing question about that part of our house that can't even be seen by the casual observer, namely this question: what sort of foundation do you want under your spiritual house? We don't have a lot of choices, as we might have if we were building just a temporal house here in this world. There are only two. The first is Christ and His Word is the bedrock foundation that cannot be moved. Secondly, as we sang in the hymn just before, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus says in our text, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Notice that the Lord Jesus, as the master builder of spiritual houses, wastes no time in establishing his specifications. If you want to be wise, you build on rock. That's what Jesus said. He doesn't say that a person can't build on anything else, for as we well know and can see for ourselves, people do just the opposite. And their houses are standing for now. And many of them look just fine. They're not sliding around. They're not going down some sinkhole. They seem to be very well established. In fact, too many of them look downright awesome. They're big. They're elegant houses. They're affluent, opulent houses. They are built upon sand, but they seem to be doing just fine. Remember the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73? He was very concerned. He was downright discouraged about the prosperity of the wicked. He says, here I am, a child of God, and I'm suffering the tribulations of this world, the temptations of the devil, the world, and my flesh. I'm suffering the unfaithfulness of other people toward myself. I'm even suffering persecution. And yet the children of this world, the unbelievers, seem to be doing just fine. And he said, his feet were almost slipped out from underneath of him. He had almost lost his faith because of this. Until he went into the sanctuary of God, he said, and then understood I their end. But wisdom must often be gauged according to the flawless measuring stick or perspective of hindsight, which is always 20/20, people say. Jesus, the holy, all-knowing Son of God, has that perfect vision ahead of time. And if we truly will be wise, he says, we will hear these sayings of his and wise up before we are forced to learn from bitter experience. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. You see, the test of a building's durability is not whether it will stand by itself after the scaffolding comes down, as in a dead calm on a sunny day under ideal dry conditions. A house of cards will do that, but a truly wise man, a sensible man, according to the Greek of our text, knows that as much as he would like to have nothing but fair skies and dry breezes as the constant weather pattern in his neighborhood, that's not likely to be the case. We know, as Christians, from the Holy Scriptures of our God, given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we know, on the contrary, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Things are not going to be easy. The weather will not always be dry and breezy. The sufferings of this present time must be endured, waiting for the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our adversary, our enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, the Apostle Peter writes, seeking whom he may devour. The world with all of its luring vices, and our own sinful flesh, in which dwelleth no good thing, would like nothing better than to engage in all of those things. Those things will beat upon our house, our spiritual house of faith, in an effort to destroy it, in an effort to bring it down. The meat which perisheth, as the Lord Jesus calls it in John 6:27. for which people work day and night and slave month and year after year, will soon pass away as quickly as yesterday's stock market quotes or the index of leading economic indicators. And our physical health may be taken away from us just as suddenly as it was stripped away from Job of old in the Old Testament. So when people say, as long as I have a job, I have security. As long as I have a nice house, I have security. As long as I have my health, I have security. As long as I have real friends, I have security. We sing in that beloved hymn, storms may howl and clouds may gather, just as Jesus describes those things which will beat upon our spiritual house. But the ultimate test of the durability of a spiritual house, a house of faith, is whether it can survive the storm of death. When Satan makes his big play to snatch us literally out of the arms of our Savior in those last fleeting moments, when doubts assail us and fears overtake us, as we sing in that lovely hymn, Jesus Savior, pilot me, when at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar twixt me and the peaceful rest, and the foe of Christ and man tries to accuse and assail us and drive us onto the rocks of despair. You won't be going to heaven, he says to us. You're not good enough. The blood of Christ as a sacrifice for sin wasn't worth enough. The forgiveness of sins by God Himself in Christ isn't valuable enough to assure you of everlasting life. That's why the Lord Jesus calls the devil a liar. He abode not in the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He does what he does best, if we could even call it that. For he is a liar and the father of it. But the Lord Jesus says in our text of the house built by the wise man, the man made wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, the man which built his house upon a rock, the man which built his spiritual house upon Christ, the rock of our salvation, and upon the sure promises of his precious word, it fell not. For it was founded, its foundations were laid upon a rock. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, who had once been strangers and foreigners, builders upon sand flats, we could say, in connection with our text for today. He wrote to them, ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That is, upon the Holy Scriptures, penned by the apostles and prophets of God by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That is, according to the symbolism in that passage, the keystone that sits in the middle of the arch and holds the entire thing rigid, solid, and unmovable. What sort of foundation do you want under your spiritual house? Do you wonder whether it really makes a difference? That's the popular thing today, you know. It doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. If you really think that you can get to St. Louis, Missouri by driving north, you'll get there as long as you're sincere about it. People don't consider the fact that they can be and often are sincerely wrong. It does make a difference. Jesus says so. For only the rock, only Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, can assure you when the storms of life and death beat upon your house. Only He can assure you, as He does through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Now listen to the rest of it. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." That's why. "Therefore," says Jesus, "whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," whoever hears the demanding and indicting words of God's holy law in all of its fierceness, which says, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," which says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," which says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them," whoever despairs of his own goodness, his own merit, and his own worthiness for salvation, whoever casts himself at his Lord's feet in humble contrition, that is, sorrow over his sins, and begs for mercy, whoever then hears the comforting and assuring words of the Lord Jesus, as we just heard them through the prophet Isaiah, and trusts that for Jesus' sake, because of Christ's all-sufficient satisfaction of divine justice, because of Jesus' perfect righteousness imputed to the ungodly, because of Jesus' vicarious or substitutionary suffering and death, whereby He paid the penalty of our guilt, that hearer's sins have already been forgiven by God in heaven. Such a person has built his house of faith upon a rock, upon the very rock on which Christ's church is built, upon Christ crucified and the full truth of His precious word. And all who continue to cling in faith to Him alone and hold to His precious word, Jesus says, he shall know the truth. Particularly the truth that proclaims justification, that is being made right with God by grace. As His free gift, unencumbered gift, for Christ's sake, purchased and won for all mankind by Jesus Himself, by faith, simply by trusting in those assurances of God Himself. And the truth shall make him free. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:11. They shall never be confounded who on him their hope have built. On the other hand, however, those who place their hope in themselves, in their own merit and worthiness in the sight of God, in the pristine nature of their own imagined self-image, in the mediation of saints, in their longevity as church members, in their personal strength and conviction, like Peter, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Those who place their hope in their own ability to stand fast against the wiles of the devil, they had better take heed, watch out, lest they fall. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 10, verse 12. They aren't hearing Jesus' sayings, nor are they doing them at all. And Jesus says of them, they shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, just as they beat upon our own houses of faith, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In other words, it went down big time. Such a builder upon spiritual sand, you see, has no reliable underpinnings for his faith. He's like a child, Paul says in Ephesians 4, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine like a paper boat on a breezy pond, like a ship without a rudder, like a sheep without a shepherd. Without the bedrock foundation of Christ and His precious word, the drifting sand quickly washes out from beneath that foundation, beneath the shallow footings of that house. And what once looked like a well-constructed house on the outside collapses into a twisted wreck and is washed downstream in the floodwaters that lead to destruction. And mark this well, my beloved hearers. There is only a hair's breadth of difference that separates the wise builder from the foolish one. A safety margin that is played with by those who carelessly neglect the nourishment of their souls and walk just as close to the edge of disaster as they can get. You know people like that. By God's grace, I trust that you're not among them. In their foolishness, they imagine to be so well-grounded. They imagine themselves to be so well-informed, so well-read, so well-heard because they're in the house of God every week for a sermon like this one. They have nothing yet to learn, so they think. They have nothing yet to be strengthened in. They have nothing to be corrected about. They have nothing to be instructed in. They think they know all the answers, but they often betray their abysmal ignorance when they are unable or not ready, as we heard in the epistle lesson read before, to give an answer to every man that asketh them a reason of the hope that is in them. When people ask such a person, why do you believe what you believe? And they are unable to say anything. Many erstwhile Christians can no longer successfully field and properly answer even the most basic questions about Christian faith. Questions which on the day of their confirmation seemed so easy for them. And now, after years of neglect, they don't really know what to say anymore. They don't know the scripture passages upon which the doctrines of God's word are fixed and firmly established. How did that happen? Oh, it's because their house gradually began to slide off of the bedrock onto the sand. So quietly, so subtly, that they themselves were perhaps even unaware of it. And if you try to warn them, be ready for the accusation that you are imagining evil in your heart against them. Some passages they will never forget, but their abuse of such passages quickly gives them away. Now they want to defend the fact that their house is founded on sand, and they want you to validate them in that behavior. Don't do it. Beloved hearers of this earnest admonition of your Savior, the Apostle Peter writes in his second epistle, chapter 3, beware, watch out, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Hear these sayings of Jesus and do them, he says in our text. Be eager to learn. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you continue to build upon the sure foundation of faith, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And may it be your constant prayer as you face with renewed determination and strength afforded you only by the word of our precious God, the onslaughts of your spiritual enemies, the storms of life, the imminent prospect of temporal death which could come to you at any second of any day, of any month, and of any year, which could come upon you today yet. Help us to serve thee evermore with hearts both pure and lowly. And may thy word, that light divine, shine on in splendor holy, that we repentance show, in faith ever grow, the power of sin destroy, and all that doth annoy. Oh, make us faithful Christians, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting.